understanding the energetic body, or pranamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha. The pranamaya kosha is one of the layers or sheaths of our individuality, one of the core yogic frameworks for understanding the layers of our individuality, describes five layers that are expressing individuality. But the source of them all is this unbounded field of pure awareness, that silent, unified field of life we call the higher self, or Paramatman. You'll also just hear it referred to as the Atman, literally the self. And this is the self as unbounded awareness. Now that pure, silent field of awareness is constantly expressing as the dance of creation. And when it is expressing in the form of a human being, we can describe the layers of its expression in a very similar way to the way we've described the layers of physical expression in the world around us. If, for example, you took your right hand and you had a good look at your right hand now, you're looking at it from an outer physical and sensory viewpoint. And you can feel the sensations as your thumb and fingers caress each other. You could make some sound tapping it. So you learn about the hand from the outer sensory viewpoint and recognize its definition. But we know that we could look at the hand from a much subtler viewpoint. We could look at the hand from the viewpoint of the cellular activity that's taking place in it. So if we had a microscope that was able to open up the cellular world, we'd see all this amazing activity, cells interacting with each other, and quite extraordinary activity within the life of each cell. So it's like a little universe in itself on the cellular level. But if we go to an even subtler level, the molecular level, we'd start to see the hand quite differently. There's all these molecules moving about, vibrating and bumping up against each other and forming different associations. So we could look at the hand from a molecular level, it'll look quite different. And then if we had even a greater capacity to go to a subtler level, and we were able to look at the hand atomically, we'd see the hand as a very spacious area. And if we were able to go to a subatomic level, and whereas on the atomic level we see these atoms, and subatomically we recognize there are neutrons and these electron clouds circling the electrons in orbit, but we go to a level somewhere between 10 and 100 million times subtler than the atomic level, we're opening up to that quantum field level. And the hand just looks like everything else. It looks like pure spaciousness, and there's just some momentary fluctuations of energy, particles dancing in and out of existence in this vast spaciousness. And our hand at the quantum field level looks exactly the same as the chair that we're sitting on, the wall nearby us, the floor. It's the same as everything around us. Now, all these layers from cellular, molecular, atomic, subatomic, and quantum field levels, they're all present at all times. And as we go from the grosser to the subtle, we start moving towards more spaciousness, more unboundedness. And this is very much the way it works on the level of the koshas. So the koshas is a framework that helps us understand our individuality from the viewpoint of these different layers, from gross to subtle. So the most outer layer of the individuality is called the Annamaya Kosha, literally the food-infused layer. So this is our physical body that anatomy studies and is learning so much about, but there's also so much to learn in the field of very physical anatomy, Annamaya Kosha anatomy. Subtler than the Annamaya Kosha or outer physical body is the energetic body, Pranamaya Kosha. And this is a field of energy that extends beyond the boundaries of the skin. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I'll just introduce you to the other koshas. Manamaya Kosha is the next subtle level, and it's literally the field of the mind. Subtler than that, Vignamaya Kosha. This is the field of intelligence, and for those who are familiar with the term buddhi, operates on this level. And subtler than Vignamaya Kosha is the Anandamaya Kosha. This is associated with the causal body, whereas the subtle body is associated with the Pranamaya Kosha and Manamaya Kosha. And the causal body is associated with the Anandamaya Kosha and also the Vidyamaya Kosha. So these five koshas are like the layers of individuality that the expressions of and also that cover the pure transcendental consciousness, Satchit Ananda. Now the first expression on the level of individuality is the Anandamaya Kosha, which is also quite unbounded. And literally it's the bliss-infused layer. So when we go into deep sleep, when you're stirring from deep sleep, or when you're in deep meditation, you're accessing Anandamaya Kosha. So this is an unbounded area. Now, some of the yogic texts actually equate this with the Paramatman, and others outline this as the first expression of individuality, which is also unbounded. And personally, I find that the most helpful framework. Now, so we have these five koshas that are the individual expression of the underlying Atman or higher self, Paramatman or Atman. Now let's just focus on the second kosha, the Pranamaya Kosha, the energetic body. And from the yogic viewpoint, this energy body consists of the flow of energy and information, and it's usually depicted as flowing through 72,000 nadis or channels. They're like streams of the energy flow. And whenever we have a thought, that thought immediately manifests energetically in the body. And once it's activated energetically on the level of Pranamaya Kosha, it will then express on the outer level of Annamaya Kosha. So if we have a thought of a loved one and it stirs our heart, then the thought immediately activates our heart center, which will in some way influence our whole energetic body, and then that will translate into experiences on the outer physiological level of Annamaya Kosha, including the brain, and including sensations in the chest associated with the experience of that love. Now, the 72,000 energy channels, they meet in all sorts of communication centers, wherever these nadis or streams of these currents of energy meet, they come together, they create a confluence. So it's like when rivers meet and they create a confluence. There's always something special about these places. So there are many, many energy centers in the body where the nadis meet. And these become important points in the body. And there are so many, but the major ones are the chakras, which run up the center of the, the central axis of the body, from the base of the spine all the way through to the crown of the head. Now, there are other chakras. There are many chakras that represent, you could say, what's often called more of our animal energy patterns in the lower body, in the legs. But the start of the evolutionary journey for human beings is really from the base energy center called Muladhara, at the really the base of the spine. Now, when we're talking about an energy body, if you haven't grown up in the world where people refer to an energy body, this could sound like nonsense, really. A surgeon who is looking for evidence of an energetic body is not going to find it when he or she operates. This is not a physical manifestation. Some commentators have associated each of the major chakras with important glands in the endocrine system, and this is can be useful, but it's very important to understand that we're talking about an energy body here, a field of energy and information that has certain primary points. The places where the nadis or energy channels meet creates these important communication centers, and I'll repeat, there are 7 primary chakras, or literally wheels, where vibrating energy is revolving. And as soon as we have a thought, it is activated in the primary energy centers. So you have a thought, you feel disempowered, you start to feel anxious, immediately something's happening in the energy center in the Manipura, we call it, chakra, which is around the navel region. And again, if you had an experience of empowerment, feeling really empowered, that would also activate a sensation in that area. Now, each of the chakras, it's like a vortex of revolving energy, vibrating at different frequencies. So each of the chakras is vibrating at different frequencies. And as soon as we have a thought, so awareness is always the prime instigator. We have a thought, that means attention and intention express as a thought. Something is going to be enlivened on an energetic level. And then from the energetic level, it will manifest on an outer physical level. Now, if you've never had an opportunity to learn about an energy body and you think it's a little weird or strange, I want you just to reflect on your experience. Let's say you fall in love and your heart is just, wow, it's just flowing, it's so soft and gooey and just everything's so bright and beautiful. But you'll notice you have so many sensations in the chest, expansive flowing sensations, warm sensations. And if you look at languages, including the English language, there'll be many words that describe energetic sensations in the center of your chest related to the heart center. We talk about people who are golden-hearted. We talk about light-heartedness, warm-heartedness, a flowing heart. And also, if we have the disappointments in life, if we are hurt, we can talk about a hard heart. We can talk about my heart is aching, it's hurting. When we're using all these words to describe our experience, they're quite accurate in describing experience, but of course they're not accurate at all in describing what's going on in the physical organ of the heart. So when someone's brokenhearted because their boyfriend's left them, their physical heart is not breaking. It's really an experience in the center of the chest where the heart center is really contracting. And it's the same with sensations in the abdomen that relate to the Manipura chakra. We have many words and phrases that describe everything from butterflies to someone who's got a lot of strength and courage. They've got fire in the belly. Literally, the energy center in the navel region, the third chakra, is governed by fire. So actually we have a lot of words. If you reflect, we have a lot of words and phrases to describe experiences that we have that are actually describing energetic experiences. And we mightn't have thought about this before, but the language certainly describes people's energetic experiences. Even though our education has often been lacking. And remember, if we come back to understanding one way of looking at the building, from one corner we see it one particular way. And unfortunately, most of us have been educated in a way of understanding our bodies and minds in a very limited way that precludes an opening to a subtler recognition of an energy body. But if we look around the world, it's been very common to describe the energetic body, because you go to China and we talk about qi. So qi is that universal life energy that's animating everything. And of course, many of us are familiar with martial arts or exercise pattern programs, tai chi. If you go to Japan, people might practice Reiki, the healing art, or Aikido, because the word for chi or prana is ki. And of course, in India, it's prana. In Hawaii, it's mauna. And so in these cultures, it's just assumed that there's an energy body. Everyone has an energy body. And that primary energy, or the prana, is animating everything. But when we talk about the prana on an individual level, we talk about our pranamaya kosha, our pranamaya kosha, or energy body. So we can understand it as a field that extends around the physical boundaries of the skin. We can understand all these channels that the prana is flowing through, where they meet, important communication centers, and the primary communication centers are the chakras. And the major chakras run up the center of the spine. And each of them relates to particular values of energy and information, which we'll explain in the next session. And the way the system works, as soon as we have a thought, we activate the energy body, and that in turn will activate the physical body. In many health systems, for example, in traditional Chinese medical system, in Ayurveda, in the traditional Japanese health system, whenever we have any physical or mental illness, it is considered to reflect a blockage to the flow of prana, the flow of prana, chi, ki, whatever you call it, in the energy body. And so many modalities have developed to help us clear the blockages. We have, of course, in Japan, shiatsu, which is pressure points that are stimulated to help clear blockages to the flow of the ki. We have acupuncture that's practiced more widely now from Chinese medicine. And it's, again, helping to open up the flow of energy. And in Ayurveda, we have also different techniques for clearing blockages to the flow of prana, including a type of acupuncture. But one of the primary purposes of yoga asana, holding the body in particular positions, is to focus on stimulating the flow of prana in different areas and stimulating vital points in the physiology. So energetically, yoga asanas performed properly are also doing what modalities like acupuncture are doing. And this is a useful thing to bear in mind. But we have many practices that are influencing the energetic body. And the pranayama practices, generally different types of breath practices, are really geared up to try and dissolve blockages to the flow of prana and to balance the flow of prana in the primary energy channels. So it's important to understand yoga from this energetic viewpoint. There's one other aspect of prana that we need to appreciate, and this is that when we describe prana in terms of its function and location in the body, we talk about the five subpranas. And these are also, they equate to the five subvatas of Ayurveda. And we'll talk about these at some point in more detail as well. So yoga is clearing blockages to the flow of prana in the energetic body. It's balancing the flow of energy in the primary energy channels, Iddha and Pingala, and awakening the energy in the central channel called Sushumna. And it's also balancing the five subpranas. So we can understand this. As we balance the primary feminine energy channel called Iddha that runs from the base of the spine to the center of the head, and the masculine one called Pingala, as these are balanced, the energy is considered to awaken and rise in the central channel called Sushumna. And this is associated with deep stillness and clarity of awareness and mind, and the awakening of the full energetic potential of the chakras as the prana rises from the base in Muladhara chakra, the root chakra, up through the various energy centers. So from this yogic and tantric viewpoint, the full awakening of our energetic body is when Sushumna is fully awakened and the masculine and the feminine energies are balanced totally, and we've awakened the full energetic potential of each of the chakras. So we'll leave it at this, and in our next session we'll go into each of the chakras and understand them in more detail. Namaste.